Fashion emergency hotline.
Help! My mom doesn't think I need to go back to school
shopping. You have to go to school. It's the law.
You didn't let me finish. She doesn't think I need to go back to school shopping.
That should be a law. Go to Old Navy. You'll be voted best dressed before school even starts.
Old Navy?
Yeah, starting tomorrow, kids' clothes are up to 60% off.
60% off?
Yeah, the hallway will be your runway. They have awesome graphic tees, colorful active gear, and jeans start at just $10.
Now you're talking. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank Old Navy. Valid 728 to 92. Select styles only.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the College Gridiron Showcase Watchlist Show presented by NFLDraftBible.com on this June 30th, 2016, Thursday. And this afternoon, we're coming to an end on the offensive portion as we start our conversation and releasing the names on the offensive line that is on the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase. A lot on tap, certainly, as we have already gone over the quarterbacks, the running backs, the wide receivers, and the tight ends over the last month. As always, you guys can check out the complete list of over 400 prospects on the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase at cgsallstar.com. As always, I am your host, Chris Schanefeld. We'll be joined by Rick Saratella and Joe Everett of NFL Draft Bible in just a moment. A reminder that the College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium kicks off on January 7th and goes on through January 11th in Bedford, Texas. And for more information, and again, to view the watch list itself, you can log on to cgsallstar.com. And for more updates on the College Gridiron Showcase and NFL Draft, you can visit nfldraftbible.com. Use the promo code DRAFT2016. That promo code is still good. Go ahead and go use it for a 30-day free trial. And, of course, follow on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible and at cgsallstar. And if you have any questions regarding the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium, then please contact the co-founders of the game who usually are joining us on these shows. So go ahead and listen to the archived episodes. Again, the quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends. We've gone over all of them. And today we kick off the offensive line again. So any questions regarding the College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium, contact the co-founders, Craig Redd and or Jose Jefferson. And again, with all that said, we're focusing on the offensive line. And now I welcome in my guys, Joe Everett and Rick Saratella. You guys ready to talk about the big nasties up front?
Fired up.
Always love the big nasties, getting down, trench warfare time. And this is really where football is won and lost, in my opinion, up front in the trenches.
Yeah, and, it's becoming more and more of a pass-rushing league. These teams are really trying to find those elite pass rushers. So in order to stop those guys, you need those guys up front. And let's go ahead and start off by talking about the offensive tackles, you guys. Of course, you have the top of the list. I mean, you have the Zach Banner of USC, Connor McDermott, UCLA, John Heck, North Carolina. And again, I mean, this watch list has over 400 prospects, so there's a number of different tackles on this list. Going more towards the middle of the list, we have Deion Dawkins, Temple, Dan Skipper, Arkansas. We have Clint Van Horn of Marshall. Again, a very stacked position here. And Joe, I know you were very excited to talk about the offensive linemen last week. So here we are. We're finally talking about the offensive linemen. Looking at the list right now on cgsallstar.com, I see a guy I'm very excited about, Jerry Ugakwe of William & Mary, a FCS guy who is huge at over 6'6", 320 pounds, and entering his senior season. I'm really excited to see what he does over there at William & Mary. Talking about the offensive tackles, Joe, who are a few that you're going to be keeping your eye on? Who are a few that excite you now before their season, senior season?
Well, we love those bloodlines. We've spent plenty of time talking about Zach Banner, but I like the number two guy on the list, Connor McDermott. I think he's really poised to take a big leap and could ascend as far as draft stock. I mean, the length, the balance, the basketball he has in his background, and how well he mirrors. That's a guy that, of this list, he profiles as the legit left tackle. He's got the sufficient punch. He can redirect people, but I think where he excels is the mirroring. A lot on his plate, I think he's one of the few returning seniors there and blocking for the Rosen one. But as far as guys that I think a lot of people are going to be really watching him closely, just how he fares out on the island and proving if he can get it done. And obviously switching offensive coordinators this year too. So it's a lot of challenges on in front of McDermott, but he's a guy that could be the top senior off the board if all goes well. So that'd be the first guy. And then as for the top 10 guys that you just named, I'm going to go with number 10, Jonah Persig, but in Minnesota. Looking into his background, just kind of intangible guy, already graduated, math whiz, tutors kids. I mean, he obviously has a career outside of football set up for himself, but I think he's got a chance to play at the next level. The size, another guy, just terrific length. They list him at 6'9". I mean, who cares if he's 6'8 and change? He's a giant man. And really, when they moved him over left tackle for the Gophers last season, the offense had what I thought a lot more success. And maybe that changes things this year. So as far as who we're looking at senior season, Jonah Persig, another guy I think that could take a big step forward in this tackle ranks.
Yeah, and of course he's the one that wraps up our top 10. I named the first three of our top 10, and going on from 4 through 10, we have Chad Wheeler of USC, Adam Biznawati of Pittsburgh, J.J. Dielman, Utah, Eric Magidson of Michigan, Corey Levin of Chattanooga, Forrest Lamp, Western Kentucky, and then your guy, Joe, Jonah Persig of Minnesota. Rick, which of these guys do you think has the best chance of being a franchise guy or maybe a guy that you can get somewhere after the first round, maybe rounds 3-4, that could turn into a franchise guy in a couple of years?
Okay, yeah, down in the Southern Conference, you mentioned him from Chattanooga, Corey Levin, and here's a guy getting a lot of buzz before the season starts here, 6'5", 305 pounds, actually played a little bit of both last year, guard and tackle. He's expected to be the starting left tackle this upcoming season, but a two-time, Chris, I know you'll like this one, a two-time Jacobs Blocking Award winner. So he was named the best offensive lineman in the conference 2 years in a row. Still has another season ahead of him to get better. Does need to get a little bit more physical. I think that's the one knock on him right now. But fundamentally sound for a smaller school prospect and somebody that's generating a lot of buzz for a winning program. A three-time conference champs over there in the SoCon Conference. So Chattanooga actually has a couple guys on the NFL radar this season. And, you know, I know we're talking a lot about the top 10 guys, but I want to kind of work my way down the list a little bit, Chris. But Levin is a guy I think, you know, his ceiling is probably a day two grade, but he'll probably be early day three, and a guy that I think, depending on how the draft process goes, I mean, he might – you know, keep the momentum going, but usually a lot of these guys, they tend to fall through the cracks, get overlooked, or just get labeled with that small school stigma, get taken in day three. And then, you know, we've seen the Teron Armsteads of the world come in and start from day one. So Corey Levin is one. I want to work my way down the list though, because this guy out of UConn really intrigues me, and he's from Silkeborg, Denmark. Started playing football at the age of 18, was a member of the Danish national team for their archery team, okay, and then started playing football at 18. So really a raw prospect, but long flowing hair, earned himself the nickname Thor because of all this. But you're talking about a guy that really is on the upswing. And you talk to the coaches at UConn, we have some contacts over there, and they say this guy just keeps getting better and better and better. Not only that, they talk about his leadership, and he's the first one there, last one to leave, always in the weight room, a weight room warrior, has strong work ethic. And at 6'8", 320, this guy is so lean. He's a lean machine. Okay. And I think this is a new trend you're also starting to see in the NFL that's becoming more apparent, is these guys in the trenches, this trench warfare battle, they used to be big, sloppy, 300-pounder, you know, Larry Allen, the Cowboys, really. Jimmy Johnson had those 300-pounders. And now what you're seeing is 300-pound lean guys, tall, lean, muscular. So I think you're going to see more of these tall, lean guys blended in at the next level. And Andreas Knapp of UConn, remember that name, Andreas Knapp from Denmark, is going to make a little bit of a name for himself. And one last guy I'm going to touch base on because, you know, as you know, I'm here in New Jersey, and I had to figure out a way to get my boys, the Scarlet Knights, a little mention here with their, I mean, five recruits in 5 days, fellas. Jersey, Chris Ash is on fire. There's a lot of positive momentum around the football program here. And J.J. Denman is a guy I want to bring up because he was a four-star recruit coming out of high school, a road grader, needs to improve his pass protection. But I mention him because he is a higher-rated prospect than Keith Lumpkin heading into his senior year, in my opinion. So he will slide over to that left tackle position, and he played the right tackle position better than Lumpkin, in my opinion, and I think he'll translate at left tackle better. But, you know, last year under Flood, more pro style. This year under Ash, it'll be more of a spread offense. So I think now he'll have that versatility to make him even more valuable, right? And also the most improved player on the team who was named last year. So I see, you know, you take a look. I always like guys with upside and their momentum trending up. And the three guys I just gave you are guys really riding the preseason momentum roller coaster. Now they got to go out on the field and prove it and keep that momentum going as we get closer to the College Gridiron Showcase in January, the draft season, the draft process, and then, of course, the NFL draft. Hey, now.
And, Rick, you know what? You mentioned Andreas Knapp from UConn, from Denmark. I mean, it seems like year after year, you know, just this past season, of course, we had Moritz Boehringer come out of nowhere from Germany. It seems like we're seeing more and more of these prospects come from, you know, different countries. And, you know, again, 6'7", 310 pounds, absolute beast there on that UConn offensive line. Back to you, Joe. I mean, as I said in the opening, you know, teams are always going to be looking for depth on the offensive line. You can never have too much depth on the offensive line, especially the way the league is, you know, going towards it, as with all these elite pass rushers. You certainly want to stack up on that offensive line. How early, and it's never too early to make these predictions, how early do you see one of these top offensive tackles going off the board in the 2017 NFL draft?
From the senior class, you'd have to go late day one, right now. Well, like we said in the previous episode, awful lot of football to be playing, but I mentioned liking McDermott, but looking at him, still unfinished product. Look at Zach Banner, more of a right tackle, more of a mauler. Heck from North Carolina, I think Wheeler might have a shot, but once again, there's a lot of underclassmen that are going to boggle up the mix as far as projecting and ranking where these guys are going to slot. I could see at least three underclassmen tackles should they come out. I don't want to waste any time on them. But, yeah, I put Banner and McDermott right around the middle to day one just because you do need guys that have that size. And one thing just pops right out of you looking at our board. There are some gigantic tags. These guys are just getting taller and taller. I'm seeing so many 6'8", 6'7" guys where that is – that's never really been the norm, but like Rick said, it's not just size. These guys can move, and it is just impressive to see a Zach Banner, son of Lincoln Kennedy, getting around now. But I would put them at the very end of day one. I don't think we're looking at anybody that's top 10. I mean, I might be mistaken in eating those words in about 6 months, but yeah, we'll see.
All right, yeah, I mean, a lot of size, and they could certainly carry on the way very well. Rick, what is a trait or two that you need from your offensive tackle? What is something that you need from a guy that you will take on day one? What does this guy have to have?
Well, I think it's all in the knee and the waist. You got to be a knee bender and a waist bender. And if you can't do those two things, then, you know, you can't jab step. You can't gain leverage. You can't, you know, you got to be the first one. A lot of times it's about the first step and leverage. And if you know how to do that, well, it's all going to tie into your flexibility. And you know, you hear the term knee bender, waist bender. Well, you know, flexibility. A guy that's athletic, a dancing bear, we like to say a lot of times on the podcast, right? So, you know, a lot of times people get caught up with the combine and, oh, you know, I think there was a guy from Arizona this year that bench pressed like 40-something reps. And, you know, you can't let that, you know, on the Sports Tech podcast, we talk about analytics and you can't let some stats skew what reality is. Like to me, you know, if a guy does 10, hey, there's a red flag. Maybe he's his work ethic, you know, maybe he's not getting in the weight room as much. But, you know, I don't really care about strength. I want to see a guy that's flexible, athletic, and then understands technique, and that has a lot to do with leverage. And you know, whether you're a big fat sloppy guy or a tall slim skinny guy, I think those are probably the most important characteristics that I look for.
All right, excellent. Again, you guys are tuned into the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase watch list. We're talking about the offensive linemen, the big nasties up front, of course, presented by the NFL Draft Bible, nfldraftbible.com. And again, this is only a little bit of the offensive linemen that are on the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase watch list. You can view the entire list of 400-plus prospects at cgsallstar.com. And again, for everything regarding the College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium, for more information, you guys could log on to cgsallstar.com. You guys could go on to nfldraftbible.com. Use the promo code DRAFT2016. Joe, we're going to move on to the offensive guards. We're going to move on to the guards. This is the guy you're really excited to talk about. Number one on the list, Dan Feeney, offensive guard, Indiana. You have Dorian Johnson, Pittsburgh, Caleb Peterson, North Carolina, Johnny Casper, Stanford, Kyle Callen, Michigan, Greg Pike, Georgia, Sean Harlow of Oregon State, Nico Siragusa, San Diego State, Alex Kozan, Auburn, and Isaac Asiata wraps up the top 10 of the offensive guards on this College Gridiron Showcase watch list. You know, tell us a little bit about your guy, Dan Feeney, their number one, Joe.
Oh, it's been the evolution. You know, say what you want about the coach here, Kev Wilson. He doesn't know defense, but he's put together some excellent offensive units, and particularly the line. I look at our strength coach, and you know, say what you want about Jason Spriggs. He does not have the bulk, maybe not a dominating run blocker, but the athleticism and where the program's gone, I think that's what gives Dan Feeney a huge leg up, because he's not just athletically talented. He's also a pretty nasty guy. I mean, he's mean. This is basically the captain of the O-line. He's the toughest guy on the team. I would say he's like a poor man's Dave DeCastro. You know, he gets out there. He pulls well. He dominates point of attack. He can also pass block. He rotates out. I think he could play a little center if he needed to, but this guy is probably the first guard off the board. If he's not, I'd be shocked. And once again, though, I'll put that label on him too. Wherever he goes, whatever team he gets on, he's going to improve that roster tenfold. There's no doubt in my mind. It's just with his progression and his stock elevation, the whole offense has gone along with him for the ride. I think this is one of the most talented players on the Hoosiers roster. So I'm just happy to see that. You know, look around. It seems that he's getting a lot of credit, and boy, he's going to be at some All-Star game. Who knows? Maybe he'll bypass that. He's so talented, but I've gushed enough about him, but I think he's definitely got to head up this guard class. I think there's a little bit of a margin below him and the rest of the guys.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that Indiana offensive line, how they step up this season now without, of course, Jason Spriggs, who went to the Green Bay Packers Rick, anybody towards the end of the top 10 or maybe in the middle of the entire list on CBSAllStar.com, anybody that you can see really improving stock as the season goes on?
Well, you know, if you take a look at a little bit down the list at Colorado State, right, they're not really cranking out prospects lately, but they have a young man there by the name of Nick Callender, who I have my eye on. And, you know, he's a guy that's moved around. He's played tackle. He's played guard. But I think, you know, he translates as a guard at the next level. And I think because of his versatility, you're not really looking at somebody who is going to come in and start. But I think because of his versatility, I think he has a career at the next level as a valuable backup who can, you know, play multiple positions. He actually first, you know, stepped in place of Ty Sambrello a couple years ago, who's now starting for those world champion Denver Broncos. And, you know, Sambrello gave him a ringing endorsement as a sophomore. And then once Sambrello was gone, Callender stepped in and played that left tackle position. So a guy that, you know, gets praise from his fellow teammates, from his coaches, a hardworking guy, and somebody that, you know, 6'5", 315, has the size and versatility that teams are going to go back and, hey, this might be one of those undrafted guys that, you know, aren't selected on any of the 3 days, but outperforms a lot of guys that are drafted and earns himself a job on one of these 53-man rosters.
Wow. All right. And, you know, Joe, back to you. And you mentioned Feeney, he could probably play center if need be. Which of these guys that are projected as an offensive guard now, they'll play guard now, which of these guys do you think could, or if, you know, are there any, can any of these guys project as being an offensive tackle in the pro game?
Yeah, I think Dorian Johnson could get away with it at right tackle. Athleticism, though, is key for all these guys being limited on the interior. I think there's a few guys that could slide inside to play center. Harlow at Oregon State, Sean Harlow, can play center in a pinch. I'm not sure about Sarah Goose. I don't know about your man Jessamyn Dunker from Tennessee State, that he couldn't play some center too. This guy's a crazy athlete. And by the way, shout out to Christian Shanfield's small school board. I was looking at this and trying to, you know, scrape the top off of that board, and this guy Dunker definitely looks like one of the better interior names from the small school ranks. Should be at Florida, but I think he's a guy that could play multiple positions, and really that's what's going to elevate the stock of some of these guys, is the fact that they could serve more roles, be a two-tool player, but that swing guy that makes play a little tackle, but also I think it's even more valuable if you can slide in and man that pivot.
Yeah, and you know, Jessamyn Dunker of Tennessee State. Tennessee State has you know, flushed out a couple of pretty good offensive linemen over the last few years. One of the better offensive lines in all the FCS. And let's see, we have about 7 minutes left in the show, you guys. Do you want to carry on with the offensive guards and the offensive tackles, or should we jump into the centers?
Yeah, we could keep it moving. Let's dig into some of these centers. They're people, too.
All right. One, we have Pat Elsine of Ohio State, Dan Volts of Wisconsin, CanCom, Southern Miss, Ethan Polk of LSU, Lucas Crowley, North Carolina, Jay Guillermo, Clemson, Deshaun, Cincinnati, Joseph Selfone, NC State, Kyle Fuller, Baylor, and Tyler Orlowski of West Virginia wraps up the top 10 on our board of the 2017 College Gridiron Showcase centers. You know, how important is it for these guys, Rick, to kind of command the huddle in a way that, you know, not only in the college game when you know, they're juniors, seniors, but, you know, year one, year two in the pros? I mean, how crucial is it for these guys to be the leader of the offensive line?
Well, no doubt about it. You want him to be a coach on the field. And you take a look at some guys at the top of their game, a guy like Nick Mangold, who, you know, basically during Mark Sanchez's first 2 years when they went to back-to-back AFC championships, Nick Mangold was the one calling out all of the pre-snap reads and the audibles. And basically, he was, doing Sanchez's job. And I think that's what you want from your center, the ability to recognize, stunts and schemes. And I take a look here in my backyard with Weston Richburg and then what the Giants did with him. But it was because of his cerebral prowess and his ability to kind of do pre-snap adjustments was the reason why they fell in love with him. And he made a transition seamlessly into that starting center spot. Another guy that was here in Jersey was Sean O'Hara, who was at Rutgers and went on to be a great center for the Indianapolis Colts. But that actually is a great tie-in to the guy that I want to talk about, Chris. And sometimes you save the best for last. Kyler Orlowski, the last guy you mentioned from West Virginia, this guy is one of those very smart, instinctive guys. Key cog of that Mountaineers offensive line, two-time team captain, and all Big 12 just a year ago. So you talk about experience. This guy brings 29 starts to the table, more than anybody in the Big 12, and actually applied. He dipped his toes into the NFL waters last year. The feedback that came back wasn't really endorsing. So came back for his senior year, but I think this is still a guy with a career at the next level. Basically what they said was his technique needs to get better, in so many words. The feedback he received from the NFL advisory board was he could improve his technique. So he came back for his senior year, and he has a new offensive coordinator in Joe Wickline. So I think this guy, Tyler Orlowski, whether he's playing in the College Gridiron Showcase or another one of these platforms to shine on, he will certainly be in the mix as a possible day two guy, in my opinion.
Okay, and so we should certainly expect to see a big season out of Tyler Orlowski, and maybe he does rise up those draft boards, and like you said, goes sometime in day two. Joe, I hate to ask you to call anybody out, but is there anybody on the top of this list playing center that may be a little bit overrated? Maybe they're really just feeding off of what the guards and the offensive tackles along that offensive line are doing, and maybe they're just a little bit overrated. I mean, is there any of these guys on top of this list?
Well, I like the top two guys, Elfine and Volts. Maybe Cam Tom, a little overrated. Lucas Crowley, it seems like every year we've got top-tier and interior guys coming out from North Carolina, and then come the draft, they don't get selected. And when they do, Jonathan Cooper, they don't pan out. So I'd be a little leery of Lucas Crowley, so he's got something to prove. But I don't know if I would call anybody out, but I am looking for a big season out of Deshaun Bond, the Cincinnati. This is my guy. I have to fess up. He's from Indianapolis on the east side. Warren Central graduate. Has really played well for Bearcats. There's two able quarterbacks set up for a big season. I'll be watching him closely at the senior year. I don't know that he's going to be in the draft conversation. It's awful difficult getting drafted exclusively when all you can play is center. And that's a guy, I think, I guess if I call him out, I think he's kind of limited to just playing center. So hopefully he excels this year, but that's a guy, we'll have a critical eye on going forward.
All right, and definitely had a little bit of a brain fart there. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word benefit. Do any of these centers benefit from the talent around them more so than they actually should? Anyways, you guys, we got about 2 minutes left in the show. Before we go, Rick, please tell the people, tell the listeners what's going on over at NFLDraftBible.com.
Yeah, another episode in the books. I know we're short on time, but gentlemen, this is always a pleasure and a privilege, and I really have a good time here, a lot of fun today, and can't stop, won't stop, on location, across the nation. We were at Big Daddy Youth Football Classic. We have interviews coming with Tony Richardson. We also spoke to Kerry Wynn, Giants bringing the NASCAR package back. In 2 weeks, we will have Miami Mike on location in L.A. at the ESPY Awards and the Nickelodeon Awards, where we'll be honoring some NFL players there. Of course, we have the Chris Schoenfeld presentation with his first inaugural FCS All-American teams. And that's probably what I'm looking forward to most on this 4th of July week. Of course, Draft 2016 30-day free trial at NUCgold.com is still in full effect, so take advantage of that while the opportunity still exists.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff over there at the website. Joe, any final words?
I'm just looking forward to the defensive linemen. Big class. You want to look at the top of the College Gridiron Showcase watch list. There's a lot of D linemen up there. So this is definitely the cream of the crop coming up next week. So you want to tune in, folks.
Oh, without a doubt. And that will be that is it. That's a wrap for the our College Gridiron Showcase watch list offensive line show. We went over the offensive tackles. We went over the guards. We hit some centers. Be sure you click subscribe and stay tuned for our defensive line show that will be coming next week. Don't forget to log on to CGSAllStar.com for the entire CGS watch list. Again, 400-plus prospects. We're still accepting player nominees, and we will be doing that all season long. Very easy to do. Again, log on to CGSAllStar.com. NUCgold.com is your home for the NFL draft and high school recruiting insider news. Established in 2002, NFL Draft Bible has been bringing you the names that you need to know first since 2002. And go ahead and press that follow button on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible, at CGS All-Star, at Chris Chanfield, and at Joe W. Everett. And with that said, be sure to tune in next week for the Defensive Line Show.
Fashion emergency hotline.
Help! My mom doesn't think I need to go back to school
shopping. You have to go to school. It's the law.
You didn't let me finish. She doesn't think I need to go back to school shopping.
That should be a law. Go to Old Navy. You'll be voted best dressed before school even starts.
Old Navy?
Yeah, starting tomorrow, kids' clothes are up to 60%
off. 60%
off? Yeah, the hallway will be your runway. They have awesome graphic tees, colorful active gear, and jeans start at just $10.
Now you're talking. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank Old Navy. Valid 7/28 to 9/2. Select styles only. Fashion emergency hotline.
Help! My mom doesn't think I need to go back to school
shopping. You have to go to school. It's the law.
You didn't let me finish. She doesn't think I need to go back to school shopping.
That should be a law. Go to Old Navy. You'll be voted best dressed before school even starts.
Old Navy?
Yeah, starting tomorrow, kids' clothes are up to 60%
off. 60%
off? Yeah, the hallway will be your runway. They have awesome graphic tees, colorful active gear, and jeans start at just $10.
Now you're talking. Thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank Old Navy. Valid 7/28 to 9/2. Select styles only.